Good morning. Today's daf is page Tzadi Ches, page 98. Let's start again on the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, just to get back into the flow of things. So the initial discussion in the Gemara is about the topic of Vari Veshema. If one person makes a definitive claim, and the person that he makes the claim against vacillates, he doesn't know, so does that mean that the one making the definitive claim is certainly right, and he collects? Or do we say, no, the one making the claim doesn't collect? So the way in which we get into that is through the laws of watchmen, starting with the Mishnah here on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Hashoa l'sapara. If Yaakov borrowed a cow from Gabriel, but the way he made the deal was like this, Shalach Chatziyom, half the day it will be borrowed, the Sachra Chatziyom. From 12 o'clock till 5 o'clock, it's rented. So from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock, it's borrowed. From 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock, it's rented. Or Shalayom, it's borrowed on Monday, the Sachra Lamachar, but it's rented on Tuesday. Sachar achas v'shal achas. He borrowed two cows. Cow number one, Dolly, is rented. The other one is borrowed. Umesa, now the cow is dead. Hamashil omer, the lender says, Shula mesa. The cow that was borrowed is the one that dropped dead, and therefore you need to pay, because as a borrower you're responsible even for damages that are acts of God, onsin. Or, b'yom shahisa shula mesa. It died on the day that it was borrowed. So you need to pay. Or, b'shah shayisa shula mesa. It died in the hours that it was borrowed. Valo omer, whereas the borrower says, eini yodei, I don't know. Chayiv, the borrower needs to pay. However, if hasokher omer schura mesa, he, the borrower, says, no. The one that died was the rented one. Now, renting, as we've seen in the Mishnayos, is like a paid watchman. A paid watchman is responsible for theft and loss, but he's not responsible for something dropping dead, an act of God. So he says it was the rented one that died. Or b'yom shayisa schura mesa, the day it was rented, it died. Or b'shah shayisa schura mesa, at the time that it was rented, it died. V'alo omer, now the owner of the cow says, eini yodei, I don't really know. So pater, he's exempt. What happens if ze omer sheula? The owner of the cow is claiming that it was the borrowed cow that died. Ze omer, the borrower, is claiming it was the schura, was the rented cow that died. Yishava socher, let the renter swear, sheschura mesa, that it was the rented cow that died, and then he's exempt. Ze omer ni yodeav, ze omer ni yodeav. Both of them say they don't know. Yachloku, they divide. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah seems to be indicating that there is a rule that Bari Veshema Bari Yadif, that if somebody makes a definitive claim, he wins. Even though the other one says, I don't know, that's already enough. The fact that the other one said, I don't know, and he said it for sure, he wins. That's when the first case of the Mishnah, the owner of the cow says it was the borrowed one that died, and the renter who said, I don't know, so he had to pay. And the second case of the Mishnah, where the owner of the cow says, I don't know, but it was the renter who says, I know it was the rented one that died, but he doesn't have to pay. So again, you see, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif. Says the Gemara, Shamet Mina, does this prove to other regards, other disputes, where I go to Gavriel and I say, Mana libi yatcha, you owe me 100 coins. Valo Omer, and Gavriel says, Eini yodea. The truth is, I don't know. So Chayev, so he should have to pay, because it's Bari Veshema. I made a definitive claim, and he wasn't sure. So if that's the way to read the Mishnah, we go back to Masechet Ksubos, where we learned that Amorayim argued about that very question. So Lema Tehevi to Yuvta Rav Nachman. So is this Mishnah a disproof of Rav Nachman? Ditmar, for we learned, Mana Libi Yatcha. I go to Gabriel, I say, Gabriel, you owe me 100. Valo Omer, and Gabriel says, Eni Odeh, I don't know. Rav Hun and Rav Yehuda Amichayev. Rav Hun and Rav Yehuda say that the fact that I was definitive and he was vacillating makes him obligated, like our Mishnah. But Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan Amri Pacha, they say he doesn't have to pay, because Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya, to take away from a friend, I need a proof. There's no proof here. I just made a definitive claim. He was wishy-washy, but there was no definitive proof that I'm right. So I can't collect from him. So if that's the case, why in our Mishnah was the owner of the cow in the first case able to collect a cow from the borrower slash renter because he made a definitive claim and the borrower said, I don't know. If he says, I don't know, he still should be exempt from paying. So answers the Gemara, Kidama Rav Nachman. The answer is the same way Rav Nachman said. Kigon sheyesh esek shvua beinehem. The Rav Nachman said that you can resolve these types of questions by saying that the case is dealing with a case where there was an oath obligation, but it couldn't be carried out. Hachanami here too. Kigon sheyesh esek shvua beinehem. Our case is where there's an oath obligation, but the oath can't be carried out. Echidami, what's the case like this? Echidami esek shvua, what's the case of an oath obligation? Kidze Rava. Like Rava explained. Now starting today's daf. Amar Rava. Rava said, Mana libiyadcha. If I go over to Gavriel and I say to Gavriel, hey, you owe me $100 or 100 zuz. V'alo omer, and he says, listen, ein lecha biyadi elechamishi. I agree to you that I owe you 50. A month ago I borrowed 50. That I know. And I never paid it. So I certainly owe you 50. Hashar, the other 50, Eini Yodea, I don't know. Now, normally we have a halacha called Moda B'Mikta Satayna, that if I make a claim, and the person that I make the claim against admits to part of the claim, then he has to pay that which he admitted, and he swears about that which he's denying. So if I say to him, you owe me two coins, he says, no, I only owe you a pruta. So he has to swear he doesn't owe the rest, and then he pays me that pruta. That's called the shvua moda b'miktsas, an oath because he partially admitted. And as we've seen in the Gemara, the explanation why is because we assume that probably he's not saying the truth. It's just very understandable rationalizations why people would do this. A person doesn't have the chutzpah to brazenly deny to the person who did him a favor that he ever got a favor from him. And on the other hand, he says to himself, you know what, I'll just delay. I'll pay what I have now, and when I have more, I'll end up paying the rest. So it's a rationalization, and therefore the halacha, the Torah, imposes an oath on him. Now an oath has to be a definitive statement. An oath is that a person says, I don't owe you the other 50. But if he says, I don't know, there's nothing he can swear about. So here you have a situation where there should be an oath because there was a partial admission. But there can't actually be an oath because on the rest, on that which he's not admitting to, he's also not denying. He's not saying anything definitively, saying, I just don't know. So that's the case where we say, mitoch sheino yochel lishava, because he cannot swear, meshalim, he has to pay. So that's the case. Amar Rava, Rava said, mana li biyadcha, I go to Gavriel, I say, Gavriel, you owe me 100. Hello, Omer, Gavriel says, ein lecha biyadi elechamishim. No, zev, I only owe you 50. Hashar, the other 50, and he odeh, I don't know. So mitoch shenu yachali shava, because he can't swear, I don't know, that's not an oath. So since he can't swear, mashalim, he pays me the other 52. So he pays me the full 100, 50 for he admitted. And the other 50, because there was an oath on it, but he can't take the oath, because he can't say, I swear, I don't know, that's not an oath. So that's not a legitimate oath. Therefore, he has to pay me the other 50. So that's what's going on in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, where one guy says, hey, Zev, you got two cows of mine. One was borrowed and one was rented. One's dead. I'm sure it's the borrowed cow that's dead. The case of the Mishnah where I say, I don't know, and then I have to pay, it's not just I said, I don't know about that cow. It's a case where the I don't know was the I don't know about the denial. And because you can't swear about an I don't know, that's why I ended up having to pay. And the Gemara will now explain how that's so. The Gemara will explain how there's a moda b'miktsas.
In case of $50 to Gabriel. Now, he says, I don't know it, so he has to swear, right?
But he can't swear. Good, but he can't swear.
How about you? Do you have to take oath and say, no, you gave it to him?
No, I don't need to swear.
You don't, as long as you say I gave it to you.
I demanded. I'm saying for sure that he owes me the 100. He's not denying. He's saying he owes me 50. He's admitting to half, and the other 50 he doesn't even know. He says he doesn't know. Maybe I do owe you. He's not denying.
So no oath by you, but he has to take the oath.
In theory, he should be having to take an oath because he admitted to part of the claim against him.
Right.
But because he can't take an oath because he's not really denying the rest of the claim against him, therefore he has to pay the entire claim. So that's the case of the Mishnah. So Fred asked, so where in the Mishnah do you have a partial admission? So the Gemara will now explain. So Mishkachas la Reisha Bishnayim. The first case of the Mishnah is talking about two cows. The Seifa, and the latter case of the Mishnah, is talking about Gimel, three cows. How does it work? It works like this. Reisha Bishnayim, like this. The first case of the Mishnah is with two cows. To Amarle, where the owner of the cow said, Shnei Paros Masarti Lecha, Zev, I gave you two cows. Pal Gidiyoma Bishela, from 8 in the morning until 12 o'clock in the afternoon, for half of the day they are borrowed. Upal Gidiyoma Bishirus. And for the other half of the day, from 12 in the afternoon until 5 at night, they are rented. Inami, alternatively, Chad Yom B'Sheila, on Monday they are borrowed, V'chad Yom, and on the next day, on Tuesday, B'Shirus, they are rented. Now, Umesa Tarvayhu, both of them are dead. He's saying, Be'edon She'ela, Zev, they both died when they were borrowed. They both died either in the morning, or they both died on that day that they were borrowed. V'amarle, and I say back, Amarle Shoel, I the borrower say back like this, Chada, in one of the two cows, yes, Be'idon She'ela Mesa. I admit, it died either on that day that it was the cows were borrowed, or in the hours that the cow was borrowed. I admit, so one of the cows I need to pay you. Be'idach, but the other cow, Lo Yadan, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Be'idon She'ela Mesa, if it died during the hours when it was rented, when it was borrowed, Be'idon Tzchiris Mesa, or it died during the hours when it was rented. So that's literally like the case of Rava. In other words, he came to me with a very precise, definitive claim. You owe me two cows. I admit to part of the claim. I owe you one cow. About the other cow, I said, I don't know. So that's like Rava. Once I admit to part of the claim, I should swear. But since the part that I'm not admitting to, I'm saying I don't know, I can't swear about that, so I need to pay that.
It's a compound claim.
It's a compound claim, okay.
It's not half of one. One fully and one not at all.
No, it's one claim.
It's one claim.
It's not a compound. It's one rental.
One doesn't depend on the other.
So therefore, so mitoch sheino yachal ishava, since I can't swear about the thing that I say I don't know about, mishalim, I need to pay. So that's the first case. The seifa, the second case of the Mishnah, is bishalosh, is dealing with three cows. Namely, Da'amarle, he said to me, Gimel paros nasati lecha. I gave you three cows. Shtayim b'she'ela, two of them were borrowed. V'achas b'schirus, and one of them was rented. Umesu hanitarti d'she'ela, he claims the two cows that dropped dead are the two cows that were borrowed. So he's making a claim of two cows on me. Da'amarle shoel, and I say back, I the borrower say back, in, you're right. Chada d'she'ela mesa. One of the borrowed cows died. So certainly I owe you some of what you're claiming I owe you. Be'idach, the second cow that died, lo yadani d'she'ela mesa. I'm not sure if that was a borrowed cow, so I would owe it to you. Or the kaima d'schirus, and the rented cow is the one that's currently alive. Or maybe the schirus mesa. It could be that the cow that died was the rented cow. V'had the kaima, the cow that's alive, cow number three, d'she'ela hi. That is the borrowed cow. So again, basically I'm saying to him, I admit to part of the claim against me, but the other part, I don't know. So again, since I can't swear, mishalim, I need to pay. So that's how Rav Nachman will explain our Mishnah. Again, remember, the only reason why you have to say all of this is if you don't believe Bari Vishema, Bari Yadid. But if you believe, like Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, that when a person makes a definitive claim and the guy he makes the claim against says, I just don't know, then of course the definitive claim wins and he collects the full amount, so then you don't have to say this whole explanation. But if you say that when one guy makes a definitive claim against another and the other one says, I don't know, the one who said he doesn't know doesn't have to pay, so what are you going to do with our Mishnah, where our Mishnah seemingly is where one guy made a definitive claim, the other guy said he doesn't know, and the guy who said he doesn't know does have to pay? The answer is, oh, the reason why the guy who said he doesn't know has to pay is because it's also a scenario where he was admitting to part of the claim. So there was an oath obligation. And when he says, I don't know, he can't swear about the I don't know. So since he can't swear about the I don't know, that's why he's paying. But it's because of the oath that he's paying. It's the oath obligation that he's paying is not paying just because of the clash of the claims, of a definitive claim against a questionable claim.
What's interesting is Rav Nachman doesn't hold a motzi mechaver. I mean, holds a motzi mechaver over Pashama, that you can also say a motzi mechaver in this case, a motzi mitzvah. right? I mean,
yeah, because there you have the rule of mitoch. Mitoch shenu yochel lishava mishava. Because once there is an oath obligation and he can't swear, so now he needs to pay. Mitoch shenu yochel lishava mishava.
There is an Alzheimer involved. Does the person recognize that?
I think so. Yeah, somebody's senile. They can't remember. Sure, they would deal with
or
that.
Or they're senile, then they're confident they've been right in the first place.
Right, the claim probably wouldn't be a good claim.
Why
for sure.
Why don't you give the example in the second case of Rove, since most of the animals are borrowed animals, that the presumption should therefore be that the animals that were damaged are.
But ain't holchem b'mamon achar a rove. You don't follow majority in money. What's that?
Well, we do follow in dini mamonos. It's like a.
I don't think so. The ruba de lesa come on. Not something like this. Okay, so this was the first explanation according to Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara has a second explanation according to Rav Nachman. Says the Gemara, L'Rami Bar Chama. Now what about according to Rami Bar Chama? Because Rami Bar Chama holds, Tamar, he said, Dalit Shomrim Tzvichin Kfira B'miktsas V'hoda B'miktsas. Rami Bar Chama says that you can't create an oath obligation with a partial admission. An oath obligation requires both a partial admission and a partial denial. In other words, if I come to Gabriel, I say, Gabriel, you owe me 100. He says, Zev, I owe you 20 and I don't owe you 80. I don't owe you the other 80. So then there's an oath because there's an admission and there's a denial. But if there's an admission with no denial, he says, I owe you 50. The other 50, I don't know. That doesn't create an oath obligation. According to Rami Bar Chama, you need to have a denial in order to create an oath obligation. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Rami Bar Chama says that even the four watchmen, where the Torah talks about them swearing, like an unpaid watchman, he swears it was stolen, and therefore I don't need to pay. Or a Shomer Sachar, a paid watchman, Lishava Shenansa, he swears that it dropped dead, he doesn't have to pay. Or a Shoel, a borrower, Lishava Shemesa Machmas Malacha, who swears that it just died because of the work and he doesn't have to pay. Tzrichin kfira b'miktsas. He says they need to partially have a denial. Alma, so you see that from his words, mean the kamar being in kfira. He said they need a denial. Lo amin tzrichin hoda b'miktsas. He didn't say they need to partially admit. Shmamina, you see from Rami Bar Chama, afal gav de shaychem u'shvu ha'shomrim below shum kfira, even though in theory you could have an oath without a denial, Lomash bin in Leishvu Hashomer. We wouldn't even make them take the oath of a watchman. Ad kafar kfira achrita, until there is an absolute denial. Kagon, for example, where he said, Lohayu dvar mi'olam. One of the things you're saying never was. Or yechzarti lachor. I already returned. Ulididei, so according to him, lo michayev shvua ahoda below kfira. There's no oath if a person just admits without an absolute denial. Eini yodea, when he says, I don't know, lav kfirahi, that's not a denial. So therefore, hadarava lesle. So he wouldn't be able to agree to Rava unless you change it, right? Elim kain amarlo, unless I said to the guy, chamishim yesh, right? The guy said back to me, yes, you owe me 50. I owe you 50. V'nunashnim, but the other 50, miktsas, part of that, lo hayu dvar mi'olam, I certainly don't owe you because it never was. Umitzas, and part of that ain't yodea. Part of that I don't know. In order to, again, we're trying to say in the Mishnah that the Mishnah is talking about where there's an oath obligation, but because the oath obligation can't be carried out, that's where there's a payment. It's not that there's a payment because of the claims, there's a payment because of an oath obligation. The Gemara says, according to Rami Bar Chama, the case of Rava wouldn't have an oath obligation. Because in the case of Rava, there was no denial. In the case of Rava, there was, I said, you owe me 2 cows, because both cows that died were borrowed. And you say back, I owe you 1 cow. You admit partially. The other cow, I don't know if it was borrowed or it was rented. There's no denial there. There's an admission. And on the other part, there's, I don't know. Then there's not even an oath obligation. So then there's no oath obligation.
So what's the conclusion?
Then he wouldn't have to pay the other 50. He wouldn't have to pay the second cow. So how would he explain our Mishnah? He'd have to explain our Mishnah, not that dealing with 2 cows, but the first case is dealing with 3 cows, and the second case is dealing with 4 cows. So that's what the Gemara now says. Well, Rami Bar Chama, according to Rami Bar Chama, the Amar who said that even Arba Shomrim, even the 4 watchmen, who swear for all sorts of things, like the unpaid watchman swears that it was stolen and it wasn't negligence, or the paid watchman who swears it was died by an act of God and it wasn't theft, right? The four watchmen who swear. He says that they also tzrichin kfira b'miktas. When they swear on their claims, it's only when there was a partial denial, the hodah b'miktas, and a partial admission. So now, how's he going to explain our Mishnah? Mishkachas l'reisha begimel v'seifa b'dalid. You'll have to say that the Mishnah is talking about, in the first case, three cows, in the second case, four cows. So how so? The Gemara explains. Reisha begimel, the first case is three cows. Da'amar le, the owner of the cow said to the borrower, gimel paros nasati l'cha. I gave you three cows. Pal gidiyoma, half of the day, namely from 8 o'clock in the morning till 12. Bishayla, you're a borrower. Upal gidiyoma, and half of the day from 12 until 5. Bishiris, you're a renter. Inam yorel, schad yoma, Monday, one day, bishayla, you're a borrower. Vachad yoma, the next day, bishiris, you're a renter. Umeisu gimel kulu b'idan sheila, and he's saying all three of them died at the time that you were a borrower on them, either on Monday or in the morning. So you need to pay all three cows. Amar le shoel, the borrower says back, chad lohei dvar meolam. First of all, I didn't borrow three cows; I borrowed two. So one cow I deny entirely. One second. We'll get it in a second. Lechada, and another cow in, yes, b'idan sheila mesa. Okay, so now there's an oath obligation. Now there's an oath obligation because he's admitting to one cow, denying the other cow. So there's a partial admission and partial denial. The idach, and on the third cow, lo yadana, that I don't know, ibidan sheila mesa, if it died on Monday when I was borrowing everything, or ibidan schirus mesa, or it died on Tuesday when I was a renter on everything. So now on that third cow, mitoch sheni yachol ishava, he can't swear about the third cow because he's saying he doesn't know. So on the third cow, mishalim, that's when he pays. So that's the case of the Mishnah, when he would have to pay. Seifa, in the latter case of the Mishnah, is bedalad. We're talking about where there are four cows. Tamar le, where the owner says to him, dalad paras nasati lecha, I gave you four cows. Gimel b'sheela, three of them were borrowed. Chada b'schirus, the fourth cow was rented. Umeisu hanach gimel d'sheela, the three cows that are dead are the three borrowed cows. You owe me three cows. And the borrower says back, Amarle Shoel, listen, you told me that I borrowed from you four cows. I got from you four cows. No. Chada, one cow that you're claiming I borrowed, lo hayadvar mi'olam. I didn't do that. And it never happened. Chada in, yes, one that's dead, d'sheila mesa, a borrowed cow that died. I owe you that. So now, idach, you claimed for me three cows. You said that there were three borrowed cows of yours that died when they were borrowed by me. Wrong. There weren't three cows. One cow that you're claiming never happened. One cow that you're claiming, yes, that was a borrowed cow that died. Idach, the other cow, I admit that there was a second cow that died, but lo yadan, I don't know, idachiris mesa, if it was a rented cow that died, and therefore I don't need to pay. Udekaim of the Shalem, the cow that's alive is really the borrowed cow, you can get that back. Or Udeshela Mesa, or it was the borrowed cow that died. Udekaim of the one that's alive is the schirus of the rented cow. I don't know. So because he doesn't know, mitoch sheni yachli shava, under that which he doesn't know, Mishalem, he has to pay that. So in other words, the bottom line is, the Mishnah began with seemingly a law of collecting based on claims. So that's a problem for Rav Nachman, who holds you can't just collect based on a strong claim. But Mar says, for Rav Nachman, you'll have to say the reason why in the case of the Mishnah there's a collection is not because of the power of the claim, but because of a different law, that where there's an oath obligation, but it can't be carried out, the oath obligation creates a requirement to pay. So then the Gemara just tried to figure out, how do you figure an oath obligation over here? Where is there a partial admission? So it said, according to Rava, you'll just say there's a partial admission. But according to Rami Bar Chama, who says partial admissions aren't enough, you also need to have a partial denial. So you have to add to the case to say that there was a partial admission, partial denial, and then another part where he said, I don't know. And because on that there was an oath obligation because of the admission and denial, and he said he doesn't know, he has to pay. Yeah, question.
If there were three rentals, three borrows and one rental. Right. Three borrows, one rental.
Right.
Three died. He has to pay for at least two.
He has to pay for these two because at a minimum, right, it's only if three died, then you become in a question. If three died,
right,
the third one...
But they're arguing whether three died or two died.
If two die, he has to pay for both.
That's part of the... Well, there's that's the argument. They're arguing about the reality. The guy comes to me, says, Zev, you owe me three cows because I lent you three, and I rented you one, and three died, and those were the three rental ones, the three borrowed ones.
Right, so you can argue about
the... And one. I said to him, no. We never dealt with four cows. We dealt with three cows. Two of the cows died, and one cow is alive.
So what happened to the fourth cow?
I claim there never was a fourth cow. I claim there never was a fourth cow. I denied that. He's denying that there was a fourth cow.
The case doesn't work.
One second, what's the question, Gabriel?
The case will not work if there's no partial denial.
The cow seems to disappear.
They made a
That's right. They have a denial, admission, and I don't know.
That makes sense then. Okay, now
I understand. Why can't I take an oath about my denial?
You're not sure.
That you would. That's fine.
But I'm still liable for three cows in the first. In the first case...
Yeah.
In the first case, under Rami Barchama, I'm liable for all three cows.
No, liable for two cows.
Not according to the way the Koran explains. The Koran says you're liable for all three cows.
No, one of the cows is still alive.
Two cows, because
right?
You swear about the one you don't know. You swear about the one you deny.
Since he's unable to take an oath, you must pay for all three cows.
Oh, the first case of Rami Barchama, correct.
But if you can't take an oath...
No, he has to pay for... Two cows, I think. I don't know.
But if you can take...
Does he have to pay all three?
So the question is... I don't know where he gets the explanation.
I'm sure he looked it up. I don't know. It seems to me that you'd have to pay two.
I would think two cows as well. I think you would be able to take an oath against the first cow that you claim that nothing ever happened.
Right.
That seems to be the explanation that Corin did.
Why do you say that he pays for three cows?
Corin says you pay for all three cows.
Where do you say that?
Interesting.
Right here, the first case. The halacha is that since he's unable to take an oath, he must pay for all three cows.
He cannot take an oath.
But he can't take an oath against the cow that he says I never got.
Why not? Why not?
Why shouldn't he be able to make
that
oath?
Why can't you take that oath?
I don't know.
Be able to.
Yeah, we think he could.
Maybe
you can't. Maybe if he's not swearing about everything, he can't take an oath. Maybe that's the concept. Maybe if you're only able to swear about part, then you can't swear. Maybe that's a new halacha.
Here's the bigger question. If someone's making a claim that he inherently can't prove, right? I was never there, but I know which animal was the one that was died when it was borrowed. How do we even accept that as causing an oath obligation?
Yeah, because it's his money. People know about their money. They're connected to their money.
They
know it.
He's
got a drone. He's got Google Earth. He's looking at the... He's comparing yesterday's Google Earth to today's Google Earth. You know, he's figuring it out. When it comes to money, everybody's a genius, the Shach says. Everybody knows how to find their money.
I like that answer.
So the Mishnah... Going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Zeh Omer She'ula... If the one who made the claim says it was the borrowed cow that died, the ze'omer schura, whereas the user claimed, no, it was the rented cow that died, yishava socher, sheschura mesa. So the Mishnah said, let the one swear that it was a rental, and he doesn't have to pay. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand, am I? Why should he be swearing? In the laws of swearing, we have a rule that if you admit to part of the claim I make against you, you need to swear. But if you admit to something which is completely irrelevant to the claim, then you don't need to swear. So mashatana lo hodolo, mashodolo lo tano. What he claimed against me and what I admitted to him are two different things. He said a borrowing, I said a rental. Amar ula says al yidei gilgal. I would have to swear through, if I have to swear something else. It could be rolled onto me. To Amar le, that he could tell him, ishtabili ezu mias, to Kedarka Mesa. He could say to me like this, okay, you're claiming that the rental one is the one that died, okay? Then you have to say that it didn't die because you misused it, right? It died just as an act of God. So you have to swear about that because you're a watchman. A watchman also needs to swear. So Migu de Mishtaba de Kedarka Mesa, once you have to swear that it died in the normal usage and that's why you're exempt from paying, so Mishtaba Nami the Schura Mesa, swear also that the one that died was the rented one and not the borrowed one. And that's the rule of Gilgal Shvuah, that once you have an oath obligation, you can roll on to the person other oaths to make too. Okay. Then the Mishnah ended up saying, Zeh omer eini yodea v'zeh omer eini yodea. If the owner of the cow says, I really don't know, the user of the cows also says, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the rented one that died. I don't know if it was the barred one that dies. There is, then we divide the money. So the Gemara says, Hamani, who is this? This is Sumchasi. That's the view of Sumchas. To Haman who holds, Maman Amutzel v'safik cholken. And when you have money that you don't know who it owed to, you just divide it. Bay Rav Abba bar Mamal. So now the Gemara goes back after all of this interesting discussion about oaths and Moda B'miktsas and Shvuos, goes back to the topics that we were talking about earlier in the chapter, the exciting topic of Baal of Imo. Again, Baal of Imo is so counterintuitive, so difficult to grasp. If I borrow something from you, anything that happens to it, I'm responsible. But if at the time of the borrowing you were working for me, whatever it was, you were working for me, then whatever happens later, even if I fired you or whatever, I am exempt for what damage happens to this borrowed item. The owner was with him. The owner was with him at the moment of the borrowing. The borrower is now exempt. So, by Rab Abba Bar Mamal. Rab Abba Bar Mamal asked the following question. Shal Bebailam. What happens if I borrowed a cow from, let's say, Gabriel, and at the time, Gabriel is working for me? Okay, so at the time of the borrowing, he's working for me. So now, if anything were to happen to this cow, I would not have to pay, because it's she'ela bebalim. At the moment of obligation, there was a knockout of the obligation, because the owner of the object is in the employ of the borrower. Then, after a while, Gabriel's no longer working for me. I say to Gabriel, you know, till now, I was borrowing the cow. It's in my house. You know what? Let's switch the deal. Instead of borrowing, it'll be a rental. I'll start paying you for the cow. V'sachra shelo bebalim. I rent it at a time when he's no longer working for me anymore. But because I already have it, when I rent it, it's just really, I don't need to do a new act to rent it, right? We just need to agree to change the terms of the deal. That once he agrees, okay, now you'll pay me. So now I own it. I have it in my domain. It's in my home. So now the deal has changed from being a borrowing to being a rental. So now what happens if after it was rented, a week later it gets stolen? So now do we say that I am exempt because it first entered my domain at the time that Gabriel was working for me? Or do we say, no, now the deal changed and the new deal is a new deal. So now I am, in fact, obligated for the theft. So Ma, what's the halacha? Now, it's me, Amrina. Do we say, she'ela l'chuda kaima? The original borrowing, that stood on its own. That, when I originally borrowed, I only got it by pulling it. Schirus l'chuda kaima. Now that I turned the borrowing into a rental, the renting stands on its own. Because the renting happens once it's in my domain, it becomes mine. So that's not an extension of the borrowing. And therefore, now that there was a theft, I have to pay, because it's not extending the borrowing. Odeilma, maybe you can say like this, Schirus b'she'ela meishach shaycha. The renting is really extending the borrowing, right? Why? Because really it entered my domain at the moment of the borrowing. And then he was working for me. And now it's still in my domain. And furthermore, da'machayev b'gneva v'aveda. A renter has to pay for theft. A borrower has to pay for theft. So what happened was, when I first got it, I was becoming a borrower, responsible for theft. Then 2 months later, I say, forget borrowing. I'm going to reduce my role. I'm not a borrower anymore. I'm just a renter. I'm still responsible for theft. So maybe when I reduce my role, I'm just continuing what already started. Now, since what started actually started with Gabriel working for me and having a knockout of any obligation, so the obligation of theft is still knocked out. And even though we changed the terms, it's really an extension of what was. And since it was an extension of what was, and what was had a block of obligation, I still am not obligated for theft.
Rabbi, then you would always want to hire somebody for an hour. You say, listen, I hire you for
absolutely
an hour. That's it.
Absolutely. That's right. We saw that earlier, right? It can be tricky. You can always avoid the obligations. You just have the guy give you some water. V'imtim talomer. Now, if you're going to say, Schira b'she'ela meishach shaycha, a rental is an extension of a borrowing because it's very similar. What happens if it'd be the other case? Sachar bebailam. I rented the cow while Gavriel was working for me, from Gavriel. And then 2 months later, I changed the terms. I said, okay, forget about the rental now. It's a borrowing. V'shalosh shelo bebailam. And then I borrow it. But that, when I do that, 2 months later, he's no longer working for me anymore. So ma, what would the halacha be now? She'ela b'schiris vade lo shaycha. You can't say borrowing is an extension of a rental. It's whole different levels of obligations. Rental is responsible for theft, borrower, but not responsible for dropping dead. Borrower is responsible for dropping dead. Odilmar maybe, kiven de shaycha b'miktza, since in a certain way a borrowing is extending a renting, right? Keman de shaycha b'kula dami, because while renting, I was obligated for theft. Now that I'm a borrower, I'm also obligated for theft. So maybe it is considered an extension. And since at the moment of the beginning, he was working for me, the owner was. So therefore, there's an exemption of any obligation. The Tim Solomon, if you're going to say that lo amrinan, that we don't say, kevan deshaicha b'miktzas keman deshaicha b'kula, since there's a little bit of a connection, so therefore it's an extension. So then they have the following question. What happens if, like this, shalom b'balim, I borrowed it from Gavriel while Gavriel was working for me. A month later, Gavriel's already no longer working for me. Schara shalom b'balim. Then I turned it into a rental. And then v'chazer v'shalom. A month after that, I again turned it back into a borrowing. So now what do we say now? Do we say, hader asila she'ela l'duchta? Now it's back to the original borrowing. And the original borrowing had no obligations because Gavriel was working for me at the time of the original borrowing. Odilmor, maybe afsikale schiris beini beini. Maybe the rental in between knocked out the borrowing. It's not the original borrowing anymore. Now it's something else. And at this new thing didn't have the owner of the object working for me when we began it. Or another question. Schara b'balim. I rented it when he was working for me. Ushala, then a month later, I turned it into a borrowing when he was not working for me anymore. The Chazar, and then Sachra. Then I turned it into a rental again when he's still not working for me. Ma, what's the halacha? Mi amina, do we say here, asil aschiris leduchta, that the rental comes back? Maybe the borrowing interrupted the renting, and therefore now it's a new obligation, and this new obligation was when he wasn't working for me. So it didn't have the knocking out of needing to pay of Baal of Imo. So the Gemara says, Teku, we don't know. Okay, next Mishnah tells us about at what state or what moment do the obligations begin. Hashor al-Sapara, if a person borrows a cow, the Shulchalo, and he sent it to me, the lender sent it to me, Biyad Bino, with his son, or Biyad Avdo, or his slave, or Biyad Shlucho, or his emissary, or Biyad Bino, or my son brought it to me, or Biyad Avdo, or my slave, or Biyad Shlucho Shulchol, or the person I sent brought it to me, or Mason, while it's being brought, it dropped dead. Potter, I don't have to pay, because I didn't yet pull it to become obligated in it. But, Amarlo Ashol, if I told the lender, Shalchali biyad bni biyad avdi biyad shluchi, send it with my son, slave or emissary. Oh, I said to him, you don't even have to use my son. Biyad bincha, send it with your son, biyad avdecha, your slave, biyad shluchacha, your emissary. Oh, sharmalo amashilo, when he agreed to lend it to me, he said, but by the way, Arini Mishalech Chalacha, I'm going to send it to you, biyad bni with my son, biyad avdi, my slave, biyad shluchi with my emissary, biyad bincha, or your son, or biyad avdecha, or in the hand of your slave, or biyad shluchacha, your emissary, v'amalu ashol, and I said to him, shlach, yes, do that, send it. This shilcha, and in fact, he did send. Umesa, now it died on the road, chayev, I am responsible, because since I had agreed to this arrangement, once he's doing this arrangement, it's already in my domain. V'chein, and the same would be true, b'sha, shemach zira, at the time of returning the object.
Rabbi, let's go back two Mishnahs to that borrow, take three and two die, and whatever. Right. I can interpret that, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I